You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday. Three of our prized World Heritage sites are under serious threat from untreated sewage. The Greater St. Lucia Wetland Park, the Cape Floral Region and Robben Island are all at risk, with pollution levels impacting both the ecosystem and communities. More now from Professor Emeritus Leslie Petrick from the University of the Western Cape's Department of Chemistry, who has been working on research in this respect. And Professor, first of all then, what has led to this crisis?
Well, look, one of the facts that we all have to live with is that service provision has become the least of the government's priorities. Clearly, there is no effort to maintain or expand wastewater treatment plants in the country, and many of the communities are completely unserviced. But even the communities that are serviced, their infrastructure is aging and collapsing under the huge amount of additional sewage that is being generated by the population. We clearly have a government that has no foresight and that encouraged population growth without thinking about the necessary infrastructure that goes with such a population growth. That's the first thing. The second thing is obviously having skilled technical people to do the work. You can't put a person in charge of a wastewater treatment plant that's a political pawn rather than a technically skilled, trained person without having problems. We've analysed the situation pretty carefully. A large group of us under the leadership of a professor at Wits did a study on it. And there are many integrated reasons for the problem that we're facing, but those are the key ones. Now, the trouble is that if you do not treat your wastewater, you're polluting your rivers and you're polluting your seas. And what we're seeing at Mogale City and at the Cradle of Humankind and also at the Vredefort situation and at Robben Island is all a result of the fact that sewage is not being treated and it's being released into the marine and riverine environment without consideration of the downstream impacts. We have to realize that sewage is actually full of pathogens. E. coli is, and enterococci are the measures that are taken because these indicate fecal pollution, but these are not the only organisms that are present in that sewage. You have a whole range of bacteria and viruses, and of course parasites like worms present in that sewage that will affect the health of people that are in contact with that water. But more so, these are World Heritage sites we're talking about. And that means that we have a responsibility to the rest of the world to see that those sites are kept pristine for future generations to be able to marvel at what those sites represent.
Professor, let me ask you this question. In terms of treating the problem, if we have the infrastructure repaired, if budget is found for this, is it, in your opinion, a fairly easy fix, or do you think we've crossed some sort of line here?
Well, if the infrastructure was repaired and maintained and augmented, we might be able to reverse some of the damage. Species loss is, of course, ongoing because of this problem. The thing is that the sewage is not only full of pathogens, it's also full of chemicals. And I've just recently participated in a study which showed the dreadful extent of perfluorinated compounds that are contaminating our waters. That's just one of them. There are pharmaceuticals, there's pesticides, there's industrial chemicals. And those chemicals are obviously what is hugely toxic to living organisms. And especially in an environment like Robben Island, which is supposed to be a pristine environment, you must realize Robben Island is not just a World Heritage site, it's also the home of an endangered species, the African penguin. And it's a marine protected area. And we are picking up all these chemical compounds in the sediments, which means the beach sands and the seawater, and in mussels and in penguin eggs that we have tested. So these compounds are busy contaminating living organisms to the extent where it's affecting the chances of survival and creating extra stress on an endangered species that does not need extra stress at this point in its fight for survival.
Professor, you're painting a very gloomy picture here. As a result of all the work that you and your colleagues have done, has there been any response so far from those in charge?
Well, look, the city of Cape Town is starting to allocate budget towards expanding and upgrading the wastewater treatment plants in the Western Cape. I have heard talk of this being also a part of the plans up in the Gauteng region, and one can just hope that these things happen in the near term, not in the far term. You know, the trouble is that talking about allocating budget is different from actually allocating the budget, and then getting the tenders in place is another long story. In Cape Town, for instance, the arguments about the tenders have put some of the work back by 10 years or more. And, you know, once the tender is allocated, it still takes time until the project is completed. So we're looking at the nearest future is probably 5 years from now, possibly 10 or 20 years, if people get going right now. And the trouble is, because of the short-termism of our politicians, what one set of officials decide on is not necessarily carried through by the next set of officials. And then one has to start all over again. I mean, to give you an idea, we started raising an alarm about the sewage pollution around Cape Town in 2015. And at the moment, the only wastewater treatment plant that is receiving some attention is Potsdam and possibly Fore. But other than that, the other wastewater treatment plants are still woefully inadequate and are spewing out a very poorly treated sewage into the marine environment and into our local rivers here in the Western Cape.
All right. I am going to have to leave it there. Time, regrettably, is against us. But thank you very much indeed for sketching out what is obviously a very, very critical situation. I do appreciate it. Thank you.